Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Wise Men Say podcast for the second time on Monday, the 4th of December 2023, as we were all just settling down in bed and counting down the sleep till Christmas. We checked Twitter before we went to sleep, sorry, X before we went to sleep, or WhatsApp, or whatever you use, to find out that Tony Mowbray has been relieved of his duties as Sunderland manager. It's quite funny, really, because we'd titled the pod Mowbray on the Brink, and he was very much brunk, if anything. So the club statement reads, Sunderland FC has this evening parted company with head coach Tony Mowbray. The club would like to thank Tony for the positive contribution he has made throughout the past two seasons alongside his assistant Mark Venus, who also departs. Both will always be welcome back at the Stadium of Light and wish them well for the future. Sporting director Christian Speakman commented, all at SAFCA have thoroughly enjoyed working with Tony, and he's quite rightly held in high regard by our players and staff and our supporters. After arriving at an uncertain time, he helped guide us to the Sky Bet Championship playoffs and played an important role in developing our team. This was a difficult decision to make, but we remained loyal to our ambition and our strategy and felt that now was the right moment to take this step. We are now focused on identifying the right candidate, and we will continue to support our coaching team and players throughout the interim period, Chairman Kirilu Dreyfus added. I'd like to place on record my gratitude to Tony for his hard work and commitment to Sunderland, a place where he will always be welcome. As custodians of our great club, we believe in our long-term strategy that we hope will ensure sustainability and success for Sunderland. Central to that approach is a relentless demand for a high-performance culture, being listened to Jay Humphries podcast, to be implemented throughout the club, and the development of a strong playing identity that you, our loyal supporters, can be proud of. Your continued support will always be fundamental to that progress, and we look forward to seeing as many of you as possible at the Stadium of Light throughout the festive period, right, and as we enter 2024. Support by the club's existing coaching team, Mike Dodds will lead the first team's training and match preparations until the process to appoint a new head coach has concluded. So, I'm joined by Eleanor again. Hello, Eleanor.
Hi, Gareth. I haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a while.
Nice to see you. Wish it was under better circumstances. Yeah.
Chris Weatherspoon has joined us because he likes the doom.
Yeah. It was like somebody said, it was like the bat signal. Running.
And Jimmy Ray is here to add, try and add some positivity, even though he looks very sad.
I am very sad.
I have never seen Jim look this crestfallen.
He is crestfallen. His crest is barely visible on the screen. See the top of the crest, which is poking over the bottom of the camera. So it's weird. We were talking about this, weren't we, Anna, earlier in the scenario situation. The things that Mowbray was saying were kind of a little bit like almost the things that the department manager says the first time they're on Sky on the coverage of a game after they've been sacked, where they'll go on and they'll ask them, well, what happened at Sunderland? And they'll say all that stuff. You kind of said it all then. Kind of makes you, and the fact they've announced it at 10 o'clock at night, it kind of feels a little bit like it was already done.
Yeah, it
definitely does. I mean, we said it on the pod, and you should go listen to that pod, which is now completely out of date.
Redundant. But... it's not redundant. We talk about the mags and the high state, which none of them should be allowed in.
But yeah, I mean, it was, even as we were talking, we said it felt defeatist. It felt like he was done. And I think that he knew. I think that he knew this was coming. There's obviously been these conversations kind of in the works. And I think it was very much he wanted to go out on that. Look, I've tried my hardest. I've done my best here. But there comes a point where there's nothing else you can do. I mean, I was saying to the lads before we started recording, the statement definitely reads like a sacking. Like it doesn't. Well, they haven't said by mutual decision, have they? They've said departed. When you saw parted, I can't remember which one it was now.
I said departed. But,
yeah,
we'll go with departed.
They've parted ways, haven't they? And that very much reads as he's not what they're looking for anymore. He's not what they want anymore, and they're planning on moving on. I'm sad. I am genuinely sad. I wasn't at the point of Mowbray out. I didn't want him to go, but and I think like reading some of the tweets under the tweet that Sunderman sent out, you can see people are very much like, I'm sad, but potentially it was time. So I don't know.
I think
it's a bit melancholic.
I think it's a bit bonkers. I think it's a bit crazy that I thought it was crazy last week when people were talking about his job being in jeopardy, principally because I don't really know what the aim is this season. Like, I know everyone like keeps saying, oh, well, they said they're aiming for the top two. But first of all, they didn't actually say that. And second of all, I don't think anyone could look at that squad and say they've equipped it for the top two. So I'm not really sure what Mowbray's job remit was this season. I mean, to me, it looks like he's been punished for overachieving last season with a squad that was, you know, it was lopsided, and we benefited last year from kind of being new and taking teams by surprise and also having a £35 million player on loan. So yeah, no, I presume they've got someone lined up.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? Because if they have,
well, I mean, they have to. You can't.
This is like, I mean, it's ridiculous already, but if they haven't got somebody lined up, then I mean,
well, the strange thing is that when they sacked Johnson, they didn't have anyone lined up, and they basically stumbled into hiring Alex Neil. He applied; he wasn't on the list. And then, but when they
he was pictured at Durham train station before the AFC.
Yeah, he was before they announced.
Before he was even announced as well, yeah, which is good. Yeah.
But when they hired Mowbray, they hadn't sacked the manager. They'd lost him pretty abruptly and they had Mowbray ready to go. So it's like the opposite way around of the way you'd expect. So I don't really know what to expect. I suspect what you've just said there about this already being decided is probably true. I guess maybe today was ironing out whatever he's due. I mean, the other thing is that because they've sacked him, and he triggered an extension in the summer, didn't he? Which he apparently didn't even know about. So it's not... I think we were all watching under the perception that he'd be gone at the end of the season, come what may, but actually he had another year on top of that. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe what he said on Saturday after the game was upset them, or maybe I said this morning, like when I saw his quotes from the weekend, I said, you know, if he knows what he signed up for, if he's not happy with the parameters he's now working under, then maybe he should leave. But I do think, yeah.
So you forced him out the door then?
Well, yeah, I think it's incredibly harsh because I think, like I said, what's the expectation this season? Because people can say it's his tactics. Okay, I don't think he's perfect. I don't think he's got everything right. Not by any stretch. I think he's made some weird decisions lately, definitely. But he's got four strikers who plainly aren't ready. One might be soon, like in Lucen, but the other three, like, plainly just aren't ready yet. And they're all kids, and we're asking them to go into a season where there's a lot more expectation. I talked about this like in February, like the expectation of the fans and the club for this season aren't aligned. Fans expect to be pushing on for promotion, and I'm not. Maybe this is the club saying actually they are.
Just on that quickly. Just you say like even when Speakman, I don't know why he said that, but he said it. Even then, you think like, you have to use some critical thinking to think, do we actually, can we can't compete And he said, like, yeah, you know, we're going to challenge for promotion. Like, I want to challenge for promotion. I back us to do that. But at the same time, in December, just like, I mean, we're like now 4 points off, we're 4 points, 3 points off the playoffs now in December. And yeah, we've not won in the last three games, but that's hardly unusual for a championship team, is it?
But the form, like on paper, I mean, the form hasn't been good in the last eight games. I think we lost.
But even the last eight games.
I'm not advocating, and I agree with you. It does fluctuate, and generally, I've said this repeatedly when relating to the way the championship is. The team will finish 12th with 4 points off the playoffs. It's just the way it works.
And then if you measure yourselves by the teams with parachute payments, with look at Leicester, they've got what, like 100 odd million pounds worth of players playing for them. And the Champions League, Leeds haven't got much less than that. And yeah, Grattan and Ipswich are up there, but I don't think they'll stay up there. And even if they do, they've got a good manager. Their squad's a lot more. You know, they've had more time together. And you know what? Yeah, they've just got some good players, and their owners have been more ambitious with how much they spent. But I just don't understand the criticism of him.
I actually think, judging by the reaction from people to, and like the internet is not the best place to gauge reaction from. That's the only thing we can do from the comfort of our own homes. And but the reaction from people to this seems to be kind of shock and a bit of sadness. And but I do think there was kind of, obviously, these people shout the loudest, but there did seem to be an upswell of people who decided he wasn't good enough, this was all his fault, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. I mean, in the summer, they were linked with Barioli, who's ended up at Nice and is doing a very good job. And they didn't. How much truth there was in that, I don't know.
Well, they're not remotely comparable jobs, though, are they? Really?
No, they're not. But what I was going to say was that they didn't pursue that avenue and they stuck with Mowbray. And I don't know that it's a coincidence that they did that after there was pretty much uproar at the time that at any suggestion of getting rid of him. And now the tide's turned a little bit and they have got rid of him. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Since this ownership came in, they have done certain things that have been done to kind of appease people, and maybe like the popular option.
What they think. Everybody wants.
Yeah. I'd say that's what it is. I mean, the perception from inside the club, certainly last season, was that all the players absolutely adored him.
Exactly.
Well, again, we're saying on the pod again, the life cycle of a manager, it's about, you know, 18 to months probably the median sort of time, isn't it, really? I mean, it tends to be the case. And I think that's what we're seeing. It kind of doesn't take a lot results-wise, but it's kind of felt as though really they've been wanting to make this change for a long time in relative terms, you know. I mean, but they didn't do it in the summer because we got the playoffs. If we hadn't got the playoffs, it would have been very easy to say thanks very much and off you go.
The thing with, if that was the reason they didn't do it, but they still wanted to do it, they should have just done it.
Exactly. Like, we're not far off the playoffs now.
But like, I'll be honest, like when there was the rumour that he was going to go in the summer, I like Mowbray. He comes across a really genuine guy. He comes across a really nice bloke and that. But like, I did think, well, actually, maybe this means they're accelerating the plan. Like, maybe this means that. Because I think we all thought, like first season we come up, the plan is to stay up. Second season, consolidate. Third season, maybe we start going for it. So obviously when we finished sixth last year, you're thinking, well, if they're thinking about sacking him now, that suggests they're pushing the plan forward. Then they didn't go and do it. And I cannot agree with anyone who says that summer transfer window was undertaken in a manner that was building a squad that's fit for promotion. I mean, there's only one of them who's playing games. There's only Bellingham who's playing games regularly. So, I mean, maybe that's part of it. Maybe they're saying, you know what, we've given you these players and you won't play them. Like, perhaps that's it. I don't know. But it just, I think it is hard to know what to make of it.
But so, the issue is, if you're going to keep buying young players, you are going to end up with a squad who hasn't reached their potential. And we said this on the
But I feel
earlier,
like it's okay to not reach your potential at this point in the season, because we are only 4 points off
Jim,
the playoffs.
How many of those players, by the end of this season, are going to be ready. I mean, you look at our strikers. I don't even know. I think Roussien may
be
in that last
month. Is that an
uncommon
thing for most of the teams in this league, though?
I mean, to not have a striker, who's ready and able to play, and to be playing kind of, to have got rid of a centre half who's experienced and to not bring one in, to have kind of a major contributor in Corey Evans, who's out for a long term, and not bring someone like that in. Yeah, I do think that is an issue.
I referred to Mowbray on the pod last season as a crash manager. And that is what they want. They want somebody who's going to come in, develop the players that they buy and assign to the squad, play them, and then they'll basically sell them and make some money. And then they can go, look how good we are, look how sustainable we are. We've made some money because we bought this player for 500 grand and we've sold him for 17 million pounds. Now, I said this before, that does nothing for me from a going to the game perspective. I'm not going to sit there and applaud the fact that we've like made money on somebody because I'm never going to see any of it anyway. So why does that bother me? There's a lot of this kind of like a lot of jargon, and football now has become such an all-encompassing thing. It goes beyond what happens on the pitch, doesn't it? It's a wider thing where it's all about the setup of a club, sporting directors, managers, data. This, you know, I'm not saying either of these, any of those things are good or bad. It's just the way it is, and as a result, people get more and more involved in the intricacies of the game, to the point it becomes an obsession and interest. It's no offence, Chris. And it generates more debate and discussion, and sometimes we lose sight as a result, I believe, of what the actual purpose of in supporting a football team is and what you enjoy. And I think on Mowbray, what I'd say is the football we've played is probably some of the best football
100%
ever. My dad will say it's some of the best football he's seen in a very long time. But ultimately, that is irrelevant because the vision of the club has been kind of detailed, really, in the statement from the club today and the sacking, and obviously what Mowbray said in the last few days relating to what the club want to achieve. I think it's in plain sight, really, what they want. Now, people have got to decide, and in my opinion, is that something that you get excited about, or is that what you're accepting, or are we going to say, well, no, come on, we need to actually try and get promoted the next few years, because otherwise we're just going to be stuck in the Championship for the next 10 years churning players. Anyway, sorry, I've gone on for far too long.
No, it's fine. I was just saying, can I just read out a quote from Mowbray over the weekend? I put it out this morning. I only read it this morning. I think he said it either after the game or yesterday. But he basically said, it's not really my decision. The club wants to develop young players and for them to be given an opportunity. That's what I do. I give them a chance. My gut inside me tells me that we need to change because I want to win. That's the truth. I'm trying to develop young players to create value in them, give them good careers. Sometimes they're not quite ready, but that's okay. They'll get game time. They'll get on the pitch to experience the Championship. I signed up for that. I bought into it. Here I am doing it, picking them, playing them. I'm comfortable with it, but there you are at 55 minutes and I want to win. We still aren't having shots, so I go as players I think can turn it around. As a club, we want to be bold and the young players have to be on the pitch to show they can do it. That's what we're doing. So to me, I mean, I don't know, like, has that played a part in this decision?
Well, yeah. When you posted that this morning, excuse me, when you put that in the group this morning, what did I immediately respond with?
You said remember? He's gone. Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah, you did actually. Yeah, I forgot that. That was 6 a.m.
You are right. Like, it did very much read like that. And I think that, funny, when we're talking about this idea of what their vision is for the club, because that was very much a big part of their statement, wasn't it? Like, their vision, what they're expecting, what they're wanting. We've heard about this model time and time again. And I don't think any of us can say we weren't shocked knowing this vision and knowing this model when they did appoint a manager like Mowbray or a head coach like Mowbray, because he was a head coach. Because ultimately, what we all expect from them, and it's something we very almost saw in the summer, and it's something that kind of I think we are going to go towards here, is a young coach who wants to be a head coach, who wants to kind of play in this system that we have set up. And I think as much as And again, I said this on the pod earlier, but as much as Mowbray was aware of that, I don't think he realised the extent to which it ran in the club at the time when he took the job. And I think that over time, that has just become a bit of a clashing of heads, which we can see in all these quotes. We spoke about the one Phil Smith put in the Echo. Kind of, he put that article together after Millwall where he said that Mowbray was talking about the hierarchy and how he doesn't get the chance to decide the players because of the hierarchy, that he's told who he needs to play. And it comes down to, he was a shock when he came. None of us expected them to sign, to appoint Mowbray. And I think that we're going to get a young, up-and-coming manager. I do. I think it's going to be someone who...
That's not a bad thing necessarily, though.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not at all. But I think that's what they want. And that's what... If we want there to be some kind of settled and kind of cohesion at the top here, I think that's what they need. I think if they want someone who they can mould and they want someone who they can get to do what they want, that's what they're going to have to bring in.
But that's where the problem lies, though, isn't it? Because
but you can't bring in an experienced coach and expect them not to speak out.
Even
like
an experienced coach, if they're really good at what they do, they won't be moulded. They won't be told what they need to do because they'll already know what they need to do.
Is it being told what they need to do, or is it,
that's what frustrates it? So that's what frustrates me about the sacking of Mowbray, and that's what frustrates me about what you were saying before, Chris. Because I agree, like, he should be able. Well, first of all, he shouldn't need to come out and say that. But even if he does say that, like, it scares me if he's even insinuating that he's being told who he can and can't play. That's a worrying. It doesn't, like, that is.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
That was even obvious before. Obviously, like, the fact he's come out and said it's gone. But I think, like, the fact, like, what we've seen, what's happened with Alex Pritchard. I mean, they tried to get rid of Pritchard in the summer.
Yeah.
They couldn't. And now Pritchard can't get in the team yet. Every time he comes on, he impacts the game. So, I mean the Danny Bart thing, like, let's not retread all ground. But, like, that was clearly not a decision.
Wasn't a footballing decision, was it?
Like, yeah. I mean, playing Luke O'Neill at centre half is, well, possibly that is Mowbray's decision. We'll not get into that. But I agree with you. I think that's what they've been signposting. Like, that's what they've been seeing. That's the sort of club they are. I mean, like, that's the club they're trying to turn us into. Yeah, if they do that, okay. I think that's consistent. I thought the guy they got linked with in the summer was consistent with what they said they're going to do. But it'll be interesting. I mean, so far, when we've hired managers, they've all been out of work. They've all been convenient choices. We haven't gone and poached someone who's doing a good job somewhere else. So let's see what they do. Like I say, I think it's going to be hard to judge this decision in its entirety until we know who they do go and get. As a complete random point, but it's also 15 years to the day since we sacked Roy Keane. And we got Ricky Spraser in after that. So I would hope that we've put a bit more thought into this than that.
thing is, though, is like it's not inherently bad to have a structure like that, because like most successful modern clubs do have a structure at least similar, insofar as the manager doesn't do everything. But if we do get a younger manager and he's more sort of, just because he's like more aligned to what Speakman slash the board want, I think it's one of them where it's like it could actually work out to be better. Mate, you know what? Maybe the people who said for ages that Mowbray would never get us promoted might prove to be right. If that happens, great. I didn't see it, and I still don't really see it, but it may happen. What I don't want is, like you just said, Eleanor and Chris, like the Danny Bart, Pritchard situations where there's interference from above with which players can and can't play. That's the issue for me, more so than the manager. And then Mowbray is like a scapegoat, essentially, if that's the case, because he's getting his hands tied with who he can and can't play. If somebody comes in and, yeah, we might not know much about them, we might not. There was a piece on Not the Top 20 the other week that was saying about the more managers than not out of the last few seasons in League 1 and League 2 had got teams promoted, and it was their first job in management. And and that could happen.
Yeah, I think end of the day, I think it is going to take a couple of kind of, not days for this to sink in, but it is going to be a bit of a, oh yeah, we have sacked Mowbray. It is going to be a bit of a weird one, because I think all of us were settled in with him at least for another couple of months. Like you said at the beginning of the pod, Chris, like none of us, he's triggered a contract extension, which the club didn't really announce, or it was a bit weird, but like, he's triggered a contract extension. He's then gone. It's all felt a bit sudden. And I guess the writing was almost on the wall with what we've seen in the past couple of weeks. But at the same time, it just feels a bit bizarre. And I think we just need to wait and see what happens in the next couple of days, couple of weeks.
Maybe there's a big like break glass as we're about to play Newcastle United on the wall at the stadium, like that nobody got an install from like 10 years ago.
Yeah, we need to wait until like two matches before lose the next game.
They did it too early. But yeah, I mean, yeah.
Unless we just don't hire anyone until then. We don't hire anyone until like two matches before, and then we hire them.
That would be like the Ricky Spirit. We'll have Mike Dodds until the end of the season.
Maybe he'll become permanent.
No, I think overwhelming. I mean, you shouldn't really get sentimental in football, but I do feel bad for him, because I think he overachieved last season. I think he's getting punished for that. I think some people have made their mind up otherwise, but I look and I kind of, like I say, the people who they signed in the summer, there's only one of them playing. Maybe that's played into it. Maybe they saved it. More should be played. But I just look and I think, like, of the players they've signed from abroad, none have really done much. Bar sporadically, that's about it, really. And I just think, look, they're all in on this. And, like, it's all well and good, like, people being for that and that. But I think you need a bit of flexibility sometimes. I mean, look, Jim, like what you kind of said there, like, you know, they could get someone in and, you know, they could be a perfect fit. And this squad could do a lot better than I'm expecting it to, and I think quite a few people are expecting it to. But at the moment, it just feels like
desperate, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, no, maybe not even desperate. It just feels like they've kind of. It feels like he's got miffed, clearly. But people say that, like, about his comments after the game on Saturday. It's rather true that he's ended up going, but. There was a couple of times last season, like certainly after January, when he came out with similar things, you could tell he wasn't particularly happy. Alex Neil did exactly the same, and now I know everyone has got it in the head that Alex Neil left for more money, which he did, but that was not the only reason he left. Now, okay, this is what they signed up for, but there's a reason that these managers are getting pissed off. Like, yeah. whether they're right to or not, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, so I'm not going to like slate the club or slate the manager, because I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But I just think it does feel like the club's got a very set way of working, and they're not going to bend from that. And I know you're more optimistic, Jim, which is very rare for you. But I'd be very surprised if they'd be able to get someone in who can take this team up. I think the league's stronger and the squad's weaker. And I think the reason what baffles me about this is I do not know what the expectation is for this season. I do not know what the expectation of Tony Mowbray was. Because to me, this was inevitable. I feel like we said it on a podcast in the summer that if we weren't pulling any trees up by this stage of the season, it would be Mowbray.
Definitely said. Mowbray's come out and criticised the board. He's criticised signings. He said he wants more. Like, most managers do that. Like, there are very few managers who are happy with the hand they've been dealt with, the players that have been signed. And that goes for Premier League, Championship, League One, whatever. And I just think that we had a really, really good thing going with Tony. And it's just really, really sad that he's not been able to just carry on going. And yeah, maybe he was getting frustrated. And maybe, you know what? Hopefully he's actually quite happy with the fact he doesn't have to deal with their shit anymore.
I was going to say, I think something that maybe we haven't mentioned it. Maybe we're a bit guilty. I mean, we've all dashed to do an emergency podcast because we sacked the manager, but the model they're operating under should be able to march on irrespective of who the manager is. So perhaps we're all getting a bit upset and a bit over the top about it. And I remember weirdly at the time when they were scrambling to keep Alex Neil, that felt like something they were just doing to keep fans happy, because actually the vibe seemed to be afterwards that actually they weren't that bothered whether he stayed or not. And obviously Mowbray came in and it kind of went quite seamlessly. So I don't know, maybe we're all overreacting. Maybe whoever they get in is just going to pick up where Mowbray left off and improve. I don't know. It's never boring. I wonder, before we came out of here, guys, we should have counted how many times we've had to do this podcast in the, 11 years now? 10 years?
Just probably 12 times.
Yeah.
13 times, maybe.
We should do like an anthology.
Maybe this is lucky number 13. Maybe we'll never have to do a podcast like this again. Whoever we hire is just going to be cryogenically frozen and we'll never get another Sunderland manager again. And they'll just like wheel them out for Sunderland games, unfreeze them during the match, and then they can go back into their chamber. I think this is proof that it's now 10 past 11. We're all getting a bit delirious because we want a cryogenically frozen manager. At least I do.
I'm just going to stay up now.
Just in case we hire someone at like 1 in the morning.
We'll have wee Philly at the
Academy. To be fair, it was very reminiscent of a funny story to end up on. When wee Philly was at the Academy, I was fast asleep in bed. Rory ran into the room and went, "Oh my God, wee Philly's at the Academy." And in a very similar way tonight, I was asleep in bed. Well, I was dozing off in bed and we ran into the room and went, "Mowbray's been sacked." So it's a bit of a nice full circle moment, really. I find out all the big Sunderland news now.
Were you nodding off when we drew Newcastle in the cup and Rory came running in?
Oh, God. maybe.
I like the idea that every time there's any significant news really in the Sunderland FC, Rory runs into a room. It's like the Kool-Aid guy.
He announces it, It's literally his job. He never takes a day off. He just runs around the
Announcing flat, things.
Announcing things,
It's like the town crier. But yeah.
Now I need to go to bed.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. But obviously the Thursday pod will be for landing later in the week as the story develops, because I've had a look online to see if there's any early odds for the new manager, but there is none. Just to finish out and tell you that I spoke to somebody in the week who suggested that our next manager, you would have to Google. It would be one of those. So whether or not that source is reputable or not, it wasn't Chris Witherspoon. Basically that's what I was told, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, Well, thanks for joining us again on a Monday night to react and listen to the fact that we're yet again in the market for a new manager. And who knows what is going to happen next.
John Eustace is currently favourite, I've just seen.
Oh, that's good news, isn't it? And on that bombshell, we'll leave it there. So thank you very much for listening, and keep the faith.
Being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.